First reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, starting with the first verse. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind up all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in a synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Revelation. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After Jesus appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said, "I am going fishing." They said, "We will go with you." They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast the net onto the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That then disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went then aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and gave it and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." The second time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "You tend my sheep." Said a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He had said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, please. Well, as I had said with the children, one of the things that we are to do as a community of faith is to give thanks for other people. But another thing that we're to do as a community is to pray for one another. And I know that that is not always the easiest thing in which to do, because there are so many different types of needs. As we continue to pray for family members and friends who have had the death of a loved one recently, or we pray for people who are sick or in the hospital. And as you're aware in the bulletin, we list out all of those names for which we are praying. It begins to be a burden at times, praying for so many needs, and yet we continue to do it as a community of faith. We also pray for people who are needing direction and hope. And I share this with you today as our reader today, Michael Snyder, I don't know if you're aware of this, has entered the TEAM program, which is a part of the initial step of ministry, moving towards the ordained ministry part. And so I raise him up today to pray for guidance as he discerns this call into the wider church of service. But as we pray for him, I also pray for all of you because of your calling into the life of ministry. Maybe not the ordained ministry, but the ministry just as valuable and even more, the ministry of care for others in the world, the ministry of the jobs that you have in your own lives of faith, the ways in which God has called you into a particular service in which you followed that beautiful call of Jesus at the end of our gospel lesson today, follow me. But you and I know that these callings that we have received in our life are not easy callings, and at times we feel as if we are simply picking up the broken pieces of our lives and the lives of others. And I think that ties in pretty well to our gospel lesson from John today, as we hear about Peter and the disciples gathered by the shore, of course, knowing about the resurrection, charged to go out and to proclaim and preach the gospel, and yet we here find these disciples of Jesus gathered by the sea, still doing their old profession of fishing, not for people, but for fish. So Jesus comes among them, and he reminds them that although that they are not following the call, the unique call that he gave them, Jesus has not abandoned them as Jesus comes among them. It's really interesting in our gospel lesson today of Jesus coming among them once again, and Jesus finding them in the midst of their everyday work lives. They are at this old work, and Jesus comes and finds them. And once again, the disciples are eating with Jesus and also with one another. And something happens, though, in this meal in our gospel lesson today, much like the meal, the Eucharist, that we receive here today. A meal of refocusing on the Lord and being directed and redirected in the way that the Lord would have all of us go. These disciples have gone back, as I said, to these very old patterns of life after the resurrection, and so they seem to need this reminder and this renewal in their identity as witnesses to the resurrected Christ. And we also need to be strengthened in our own resolve to love and to bear under the burdens that we all carry today, that comes because we follow Jesus' call of love and service. The Eucharistic table, therefore, is this place where we get this renewal to carry our own crosses and to also follow Christ. This meal with Christ is another reminder that the Eucharist is not just a hearkening back to a past event, but the time in which we gather for the Eucharist is Jesus inviting us as his disciples to come and to eat. We who have been burdened and are returning back to the old patterns of life and those tired, wearisome ways of living need that constant invitation and renewal that this meal offers. At this meal, we are also confronted with the question that Jesus asks Peter today, do you love me? For to this table, we all bring our failures and the deep needs of our lives. This gospel lesson today is one more example of the uniqueness of John's gospel, because whereas the other gospels have Jesus calling and commissioning the disciples at the beginning of the story, John puts the scene right at the end of the gospel. post-resurrection experience then is the place in the story of this recommissioning, a reminder to the disciples to leave behind their old lives and to follow Jesus into an uncertain but also a very hopeful future. Notice that once the disciples have hauled their catch ashore, Jesus invites them to bring some of what they had also caught and add to what had already been provided for them. And I think there is something wonderful and powerful that is happening here as Jesus not only provides for the disciples in what is as close to this Eucharistic sharing, but also invites them to contribute what they have and by extension of who they are. And so as I believe there is a beautiful connection then between this gospel lesson and the callings that God has placed upon all of us. Some a calling into ordained ministry, others a calling into nursing or to teaching or to caring for our little ones. And this is one of those renewal moments as we are burdened by so many tasks and shortcomings. And yet, even as we fall short in our callings, we give our faith to the living Lord. And yet, Jesus doesn't just commission us, but Jesus also forgives us when we have fallen short in our callings. And Jesus doesn't just forgive us, but he calls us again and again and again. And Jesus doesn't just call us again, but he also invites us to share what we have and gives all of us meaningful things in which we can do. As parents or friends or employees or volunteers or citizens or neighbors, we are all called, even in our burdens and uncertainties, to give life as we look for opportunities to care for the people and the world that God loves so much. And we, like Peter and the gang, will fail, I know, many, many times, but Jesus meets us in this meal to tell us that we are forgiven and loved, and that we are sent back out there again and again and again because he does not give up on us ever. You should know, if you did not notice already, that there are 50 days during the season of Easter, 10 more than Lent's 40, which means that I think all of us need a little extra time to make sense of this risen one among us, and how we have been transformed, and how we are recommissioned to begin again. As we approach this Eucharistic table today, we are fed by the Lord of love to give us strength for the days, of the weeks, and the years ahead, to share our calling of ministry to the world and to others, and to know that we are never and will ever be ever alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.